Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the show. Episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the recurring guest.
The recurring guest. That's okay. You probably would have made it last time if we didn't push it back a day, or last week.
Yeah.
So you would have made like four in a row. But my internet, well, Comcast apparently across most of the neighborhood decided to clonk out last Friday night, so. Fuck them.
Yeah.
We need to stop surfing porn.
Yeah. that's kind of been my theme of the week. Fuck them. I don't know. It's just why. No real reason. Maybe I've just been. All the negative shit in the world just has me saying fuck it. I don't know. Maybe.
Fuck it.
So how are you fellas been?
Good.
I haven't talked yeah. long on a podcast in like. Because it was 3 weeks ago when we did the Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, and then we took a break. So I haven't talked long in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's the quarantine thing, it's just so annoying, you know? This pandemic. So. But thanks to our president's swift response to the warnings of the pandemic, well, you know, not going to get into that. So,
it could always be worse.
Yeah. Well, we are the worst right now. So that's compared to other countries.
Yeah. I'm just glad we're not reaching those original numbers of 2 million? They said 2 million dead at first. I'm just glad we're not looking at 2 million dead people. That'd probably come down to someone you knew or a couple people you knew.
Yeah. Well, no, it's 600,000 is the estimate, you know, pre lockdown.
Yeah. I'm glad that preacher came up and he was like, "When to God," and then he just got rid of all the, all the COVID. So, thank you for that preacher. That's like, I'm calling for a supernatural heat wave.
Oh, you tell him at the end. He's not a real preacher.
He's legit, man. He hits people in the head, and they're like, "I can walk."
Right. Did you guys check out that link I sent y'all a couple days ago?
Which one?
It was a televangelist. It was called the oral sex demon.
Oh, was that the one where he's like? He keeps coming over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. And the preacher sprays Febreze on all the ladies.
Yeah.
Cooter.
He's like, psh, 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 psh.
She was doing the mouth action.
That would have been way cooler if he made like laser sounds when he was spraying. Pew, 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 pew. Be gone.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a quiet week at work, and that's what I want. It went by pretty quick.
Yeah.
And Mark, I know your store is revving up for 4th of July, so.
4th of July, then we'll have the re-grand opening, and
yep.
Oh yeah, it never ends.
Re-grand opening?
We're doing a remodel on our store right now, so we'll have a re-grand opening.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Really? Does that mean you get a bigger back room?
Fuck no.
Oh. Of course not.
Yeah.
But,
that's what it is.
Yeah. Has Disney Plus released any of those Marvel series yet?
Nope. Come on, you heard about that.
Yeah.
Later this year. That's going to be it.
Yeah.
But everything got delayed like everything else in the fucking world lately, eventually it's all gonna happen. I mean, Disney Plus is like
I think, struggling to put content on there. They're struggling so bad they put the Josh Trank Fantastic Four movie on there. It's like, come on, nobody wants to watch that shit.
How desperate are you?
I watched about 20 minutes of that movie, and I'm like, God, this sucks so bad.
Mm-hmm. What movie?
The Josh Trank Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, okay. You actually watched it from beginning to end?
No, I saw about 20 minutes of it, and I gave up. I was like, this is terrible.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, but hey.
Yeah, I found out that Josh Trank wanted Johnny Storm to have a black sister.
Yeah, I read that too.
Yeah, so it could have been like Tessa Thompson or, you know, any upcoming actress of color.
Yeah.
And that would have made sense because their foster parent was a person of color too.
Yeah.
Wow. Fox Studios is so dumb.
But even regardless of the casting, I don't think that would have saved that movie. It was just badly written, badly put together. You know, there was a lot more problems with that movie than who cast it. And Josh Trank apparently is one of those guys that seems like he's very difficult to work with. There's a reason Disney even fired him from his movie, and he seems to bitch and complain a lot in interviews. And so, I think
the casting.
Everybody loved Chronicle. I thought Chronicle was okay. I didn't think it was that great. I just don't think the guy's that good of a director.
I never watched Chronicle.
Yeah. What's his name? Max was a son of the famous Max Landis helped write that movie.
I believe so, yeah.
Chronicle, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, sometimes you're just not as talented as other motherfuckers. And that shot, that to me, that's Josh Trank, you know? So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
But so, anyways.
Yeah, so my week has been okay. Just work, and that's about it. And quarantine, like a motherfucker, like everybody. Work and go home.
Yeah.
Work and go home.
Yep.
Work and go home. That's okay. Yeah. My life didn't change that much, really. So, you know. It is what it is.
Except, what a beautiful segue to get in to download this.
Yeah.
And you're going straight home today, and then you're what? What are you playing?
I had The Last of Us Part 2 came out today. And it's been work. I mean, I'm only about 3 hours into it, but it's so far is absolutely fucking worth the 3 years of hype behind it since they announced this game and delay after delay after delay. But, you know, it's different when they delay movies, because when they delay movies, they're usually trying to salvage whatever they can from a film. Video games, it's usually the opposite. They're trying to perfect it, make it better, and make it as good as it can be. And that's absolutely the case so far in The Last of Us 2. It's one of the best-looking games I've ever seen. The first game looks great. This game looks amazing. There's scenes in it that, like, you would swear are a movie. You know, not even animated. You know, Naughty Dog is known for their fantastic storytelling. And this starts off very well. It has a nice thing for me as a Pearl Jam fan. The band allowed them to use a song for the game, and it's kind of a recurring theme, the song in the game. And I thought that was kind of cool. And there's even Pearl Jam posters in one scene in the background. I was like, wow, so that's like an extra bonus for me. I was like, that's really cool. But so far, so good. The first game is one of my favorite games of all time. This one is starting out very well. Just amazing game. Too bad there's certain people in our podcast party that can't play it because they don't have a PlayStation. We won't name who.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, too bad for those losers, you know. And sorry, Matt.
I heard Last of Us 2 is pretty depressing.
There is a scene in the first 3 hours of the game that had me kind of pissed off. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pissed off in a sad way. I was like, no way, you can't do that. So, one thing about the first game, it's not, Naughty Dog did such a great game with the first one that it's not just a story about infected beings and or humans and the zombies. It's also a very, very much an emotional story. And it continues at the beginning of this one, that emotional core of the story. And there's something that does hit you early on that you're like, you're just like, fuck, man, this sucks, you know? But, hopefully as I get further along, it serves the story well. And I have faith that it will.
And, yeah.
So, you know, did you ever play the first one long?
No, I haven't, but I've always heard good things about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's excellent, man. It's worth the playthrough.
Yeah.
As much as you recommended me for God of War, I have to recommend that for you, man. I think the first one you get pretty cheap online usually, you know, so you should definitely play it one day. It's very, very much worth it. And,
yeah, I'm still working through Persona 5 Royal, so
and
I'm almost done with that. So I know I said that 2 weeks ago, but I put it off.
All right.
So. But,
yeah, other than The Last of Us Part Two, I didn't watch a whole lot this week. I squeezed in the movie we're talking about today, but mostly I've just been kind of playing some MLB The Show and waiting for The Last of Us Two to come out. I continue to miss baseball, even though it looks like one day we might have a season, next day we don't have a season. So at this point, I don't know if we're going to have baseball or not, you know, or any kind of sports this whole year.
Yeah.
And, so The Last of Us Part Two. So what have you guys downloaded, checked out, watched this week? Long haven't talked to you in a few weeks. You had to watch some stuff or played something.
I actually started trying out War Thunder on the PC. I don't know. For some reason, I was in a World War II tank sim mood. So I tried out IL-2 Sturmovik tank crew battles. So I've been playing a lot of tank games.
Tanks.
The past 2 weeks. It's like, Matt, you're into, you know, firearms and stuff, but I'm into like military tech, you know.
You're like, I'm in the big bore weapons.
Yeah, like you're talking about your 45 caliber and I'm thinking, oh, that's cute, but it's not as impressive as a, you know, 120 millimeter cannon, you know.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, this thing's like five times the size of a 50 cal.
Yeah.
75 millimeter rifle.
Right. I know I saw a movie recently. What was it? It probably wasn't very good if I don't remember it.
The Brown Bunny.
No.
Oh.
What is that?
Oh. Okay. I'll just tell the quick the story I know of the Brown Bunny. It's made by here, I have IMDb pulled up right now. I'll look at it.
Is it that Vincent Gallo movie with Chloe Sevigny?
Yes, where she gives him a blowjob.
Man, come on, dude. That's like a 20-year-old movie. Like, why are you bringing that up?
For comedic reasons. Just to watch you shake your head and be like, what the fuck?
Whatever. Yeah, I know about that movie. I watched it. I didn't watch the whole movie. You know,
A part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the theory is that it's not real, right? I don't know. It sure looks real.
Seemed real to me.
Yeah it looks real.
Like, like Mickey Rourke and what's her name in 9.5 Weeks, where they really had sex. So who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh, what was it?
Man, that movie must have sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, I just basically played video games.
I did rewatch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood just for the heck of it. Like, I like it more and more I watch it. You know, the first time I watched it, I didn't like it very much, and this is my third time watching it, and I'm like, it's, man, there's so much in it, like, you pick up on the more you watch it. It might be, the more I think about it, man, like, Quentin really went all out with this one. Like, he really put together a very solid film, you know?
Yeah.
You haven't watched it yet, have you, Long?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I want to watch Django Unchained before I move on to that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
I'm kind of... I'm kind of on the movie list of trying to watch Tarantino movies I haven't watched since Kill Bill. And I saw Inglourious Basterds, Hateful Eight, and I do need to watch that movie and Django Unchained.
Yep.
So I do kind of want to rewatch Jackie Brown because I watched it once but never finished it, you know?
Yeah, I've only watched that one time. It wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
Matt, what'd you check out this week? And if you say Brown Bunny, I'm going to hit you.
No, I have not checked. Too many kids at home for me to check that out. And then, you know, if I was watching it and the wife popped in, she'd be like, what the heck is this?
Watch Two Girls in the Cup. That's what he watched.
Yeah, I know, right? Two Girls in the Cup. Damn.
Yeah.
I caught up on some of the $5 buys that I had been getting on Vudu. So I watched The Mask, and my son watched it with me, and my third child, I used to say youngest, but Joe, he saw it. Now he thinks it's a cartoon, and now he wants to watch it all the time. So I'm just like, okay, well, you know, there's some inappropriate stuff in there for him, you know, but he doesn't know what's going on. He just sees the mask turning into weird cartoony things. And he's like, this is entertaining. I watched that. I watched The Mummy because I for $5, I got it in 4K, the Brandon Fraser Mummy. And I know you're not a huge Brandon Fraser fan, but I love the Western action in there. That stuff's fun to me. Yeah,
Mark, you didn't like The Mummy?
When I initially saw it, I remember being okay, but it's one of those where you go back and watch it, and it doesn't hold up at all to me. It's like Brendan Fraser's so bad in it. It's just like, I just don't think that they're stuck in the 90s. You know, like some 90s movies hold up pretty well with that, but for me, just like,
I don't know. I think I still find it entertaining. Yeah.
I find it entertaining too, but I do agree with you, Mark. It's a product of the 90s, but, you know, I still find it entertaining enough, and the wife loves it. She loves, maybe she just loves Brandon Fraser, you know, because she grew up in the 90s, so that was probably one of her top five whatevers, you know.
Yeah.
But I rewatched Gone in 60 Seconds just because my dad was over, and you know, he came over and dropped off a few things, and he's like, oh, you have Gone in 60 Seconds? So I just put it on. You know, a big Mustang fan, so I just put that on, and then watched Onward a bunch. You know, still seeing Onward pop up a bunch, and then B Movie. My 3 year old, he loves Onward, loves B Movie, and I went to go try and buy B Movie, and I realized that they're trying to sell it for $14. And I'm like, it's not worth $14. I was like, yeah, it's on Netflix. But I was like, you know, I knew it would come off eventually. And I was like, well, he loves it so much, you know, I'll see if it's $5.
Jerry Seinfeld movie.
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld, and you've got Matthew Broderick in it as well.
It's been on Netflix.
John Goodman.
I'm gonna worry about it coming off Netflix anytime soon.
Yeah, me neither. And well, if it comes off, it comes off. And then. Man, what else was it that I watched? I played a bunch of Battlefront 2. Oh, I rewatched Commando. And, you know, I got, after watching Delta Force, I get kind of the same feel whenever I watch Commando.
Yep.
And I used to hold Commando in much higher regard. We talked about it a little bit after the show last week. Talked about, you know, top five Arnold movies. And I thought Commando might be in there. But I don't think it is in there for me anymore. It's probably in the top 10. I think that's more realistic, a top 10 of Arnold films. For me, I think the coolest part is whenever he straps, you know, on the vest and the shotgun shells and the grenades and colors himself in war paint and just goes to town. That's like the climax of the film. And that's when it starts getting really good. And then, of course, the one-liner at the end, you know, let off some steam, Bennett. You know, after he takes off that fake Freddie Mercury in chainmail or whatever that guy is. That's what he looks like.
Oh. Yeah.
But But yeah, so that was about it. For me.
I did forget something that Long would be proud of, because you made me think about the $5 Voodoo sales. I actually picked up because I got Godzilla Final Wars, so it's already had the I had the two that took place before it, Godzilla Mecha Godzilla and Tokyo SOS. So I needed to complete that mini trilogy, and I actually really like Final Wars. That was pretty good. You know,
man,
lots of action. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
It's bonkers.
And then I haven't mm-hmm. watched it yet, but I bought All Out Giant Monsters Attack or whatever. They have
that one's my favorite.
I haven't watched it yet, but I bought that one for $5. So I'm gonna watch it this weekend. I will watch it for sure. But I did enjoy Final Wars. Final Wars was kind of bonkers, crazy action. But it's kind of what you want from a Godzilla movie with a bunch of monsters in it, you know? I mean, just throw the plot out the window and let the monsters fight.
All Out Monsters Attack happens to have my favorite version of Godzilla.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And, it's my favorite version of him.
Yeah.
He's so evil and terrifying. You know, in that movie, he's a evil Godzilla. So he's the most evil Godzilla ever portrayed.
Yeah. The most evil.
Yeah.
It's cool that they put those for $5 digitally. I mean, I like to have the hard copies, but you know, it's expensive to own all the Blu-rays out there and stuff. So
it's nice
to get the $5 digital copy sometimes. And so that was a fun watch.
Yeah.
But so that's kind of what we all checked out and watched this week and downloaded this. Playing on streaming services near you. So let's get into this week's feature film then. A 1990 modern day classic, a big favorite of Matt's and your favorite actor, Matt, growing up Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that is 1990's Paul Verhoeven directed Total Recall. So who wants to summarize it?
I'll summarize it.
Not everybody jump all up at once.
Yeah.
basically, Arnold plays a character named, was it Danny Quaid?
Douglas Quaid.
Douglas Quaid. And he goes into, he has this sense of kind of a, he wants to get out of his regular construction life in the future. And he sees a program called Recall. To get new memories, you know, that seems more adventurous and stuff like that. But he does go to do the recall thing, and he ends up actually switching consciousness with a Hauser. And basically, the whole movie is him trying to overturn this corporation on Mars, and Mars becomes terraformed along with the mutant resistance on Mars. And so it's basically a mini revolution movie. Good versus evil corporation played by Ronnie Cox. And I know it's a little all over the place on the plot, but in the end, it's basically Arnold's character trying to overturn a corporation that has a monopoly over Mars, and helping the downtrodden on Mars to overcome this corporation.
And you said it's a little over the place of the plot, but that's because it is. This movie is strangely, I hadn't watched it in a few years, and the movie's kind of all over the place, but yet somehow it holds together. Where you kind of know what's going on, you know, movie is a little all over the place in some aspects. Like, but I think the first time I saw this was probably, I don't think I saw this for a few years after it came out. I want to say maybe 95, 96 out of high school after it'd been out a few years. And I remember watching it thinking like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, I forget how weird it is in parts, like the whole, the mutant things are really bizarre.
Yeah, I haven't seen this since 1991.
I had seen it since then. You know, out of all the Arnold movies, this is if you take away Terminator, this is arguably one of its better films. I mean, he's Arnold's actually pretty good in this. I was watching it going like,
he is.
You know, yeah. He's actually acting pretty well in this because you can tell with Arnold, sometimes he doesn't act very good. He just kind of goes through the motions, but like he tries really hard in this movie to make it work. Because the whole movie is based around him selling this character that's not sure what the fuck is going on. And he does a good job at that. Matt, man, as an Arnold fan, your thoughts on the first time you saw this?
Yeah, I just remember all of the, you know, just take, I always focused on his lines. And I just think that even the simplest things that he says in here are just, you know, so entertaining. And I just love it. Just get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars. And you are not you. You are me. No shit. And whenever he just flips the switch and you blew my cover.
Let's not discredit Michael Ironside and Ronnie Cox for hamming up their lines too. They do a good job with their one-liners also.
Oh yeah, and me and Long were watching the film, and Long's like, "How many times have you seen this?" And I was like, calling stuff before it happened, but like in a funny way. So like when he comes home, and you know he's telling Sharon Stone that, you know, he killed some people, and she's like, "Let me call in an ambulance." And he's like, "No, don't call anyone." And I was like, "Don't call anyone except the bad guy from Highlander 2. You can call him." And then Michael Ironside pops on the phone, and Long's like, "You've seen this movie too many times."
Well, yeah. Matt was like saying all those lines, and then right at the moment on the movie, Michael Ironside appears on the video phone, you know, right on cue. You know, I'm like, man, okay.
We all have a movie like that, though.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's Jaws. I'm like that. I know every beat of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, also, I was slightly disappointed that while me and Matt were watching that movie, we spent half the time talking politics, trying to focus on the movie.
We kept bringing it up, but we did focus on the big parts of the movie.
Yeah.
We saw all the entertaining parts and the stuff that
mattered. I don't know if I kept bringing up topics or you kept bringing up topics. I don't know. It just somehow came up.
So,
I also was watching this.
It's still a fun movie.
Oh, yeah. It's a fun movie. And it's also that weird era of movies because it came out in 1990 where it still uses a lot of practical effects and a lot of matte paintings and background paintings. But then it also uses a little bit of model work and some early CGI where the lady comes off of him and turns into a bomb. So it's kind of one of those in-between movies from old school special effects and modern special effects. But I thought it held up pretty well. I think the movie still looks pretty good. I mean, it shows its age, obviously, in certain parts, especially the makeup scenes are kind of like, they're a little rough, you know. But I thought it still looks good. And like you said, it's still a fun movie. I don't get bored watching this film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was entertained.
Yeah.
There's plenty of things to keep you going there. And I told, you know, Long, I was like, the only fault I can find in this film is, you know, first he's like, I didn't go to recall. And then his friend that who looks like Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force is like, you did, you went to recall. Let me buy you a beer. And, and then he kills them and he goes upstairs and he's like, honey, I went to recall. And I'm like, you just said you didn't know you went to recall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, that's the only part that I can really pick up.
Right.
And, yeah, man, whenever they're trying to, kill him all of a sudden. And he's like, what the fuck did I do wrong? And I was like, he put so much emphasis on that. It's like he's trying to hold in the like a fart, but then it just comes out all at once. What the fart?
Right.
he dials it up so much in this movie here and there, even though it doesn't seem like sometimes he is.
The small nitpick I might have with this movie is that so much of it goes unexplained. Like stuff just happens. Like he just has a hologram, or Michael Ironside, they just like he hears this lady screaming, they take the look and it's him, and it's just like, so it just sort of happens to keep the plot flowing, and there's no explanation for it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's get from here to the next scene. But somehow it all works. I don't know how, but yet there's no explanation for anything that really happens in this movie except that he went to recall. That's how I felt.
Me and Long were watching the movie, and you know, whenever they spot, he goes through the X-ray, and Long's like, man, this was really good technology. I thought this was like the coolest effect back then. And they see the gun on him, and he jumps through the scanner, and he runs, and the security guards are just like, okay, well, he's running.
Why did he jump through the scanner? Why did he just jump? Then he runs that way anyway. So I'm like, why did he just run that way in the first place?
Yeah.
And then
I wonder if that was the sign. Like, we just want you to run. He's like, no, I have to jump through something. Make me break some glass. And they're like, okay, Arnold. Okay, calm down.
And then there's so much bizarre shit in this movie too. Like the lady with the three titties.
That's not bizarre.
The midget hooker. All the mutants that are. Long, don't shake your head like that.
It's a midget hooker. Stop saying it. I can't hold myself together.
Oh, shit. Sorry, listeners. But,
okay.
There's mutants with shit coming off their face. And I guess it's the radiation bars. Yes. They don't really, and then like, they cut off the air. I don't know. There was something with the corporation getting pissed off at people and not giving them air. And so they have like this rebellion going on Mars that's sort of explained in exposition. That's why I said shit just sort of happens in this movie. But it's like, why is this all happening? It doesn't matter because Arnold is kicking ass. So it doesn't matter why it's all happening.
Yes. And there's Sharon Stone.
Yeah. She can't act worth fucking shit at this point because her career had just started. I mean, by the time, thank God.
I don't know. She was pretty good.
She's okay. She's much, but you can see the evolution of her from this, and then when she gets to Casino a few years later, she's so much better.
Oscar in that one.
She's serviceable. Yeah. Oh yeah, she's serviceable in Total Recall. She does what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
So she's in this film. There's just a cast of character actors from there, and it's funny because at first. Arnold and Sharon Stone didn't really get along very well, making this movie. And in fact, she ran into him a few years later, and I guess they still didn't get along or something happened. I think they work together again on something.
Yeah. We did Last Action Hero. She came on there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And they made up for it. She made a cameo in that movie. That's right. So, but they did not get along making Total Recall. Maybe that's why she was such a bitch to him in this movie.
Maybe. Apparently he was having an affair with Laura Tichorne. She's the jailer from Con Air.
Yeah.
When Danny Trejo tries to force himself onto.
We talked about text messages this week. Arnold had his share of dipping in the pot, so to speak.
Yeah. Red Sonja girl too. The lady from Red Sonja. Bridget Nielsen. She was also in Rocky IV. That was documented. 1985. He was having a thing with her. He on record. Vanessa Williams said that she. Did some things with Arnold so that she could get into a racer. So,
okay.
Yeah, he's got a rogues gallery.
You're Arnold really? Schwarzenegger, why not? I mean, he was a player. Mm-hmm. He was a player before players are players. I don't know.
some of these other girls that he had, because I kind of looked into it, some of these other people that he was kind of on and off with were like masseuses and like physical therapists.
But did he do the three titted lady? That's what I wanted to know.
That was yeah.
Or did he do? Or did he do the midget hooker?
I think who was it? Was it Schreiber? Schreiber said that he had like weird tastes, so maybe he was maybe he did want the midget. Maybe.
Oh, I don't know. Then they did the Colin Farrell remake of this, where I think they tried to do a three boobied scene in there, but didn't work right or something. I don't know. I watched that remake one time. I was like, I forgot it. It wasn't that good.
Yeah.
It was a PG-13 movie though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's PG-13.
Huh?
Yeah, the remake.
And then the Kate Beckinsale.
PG-13, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kate Beckinsale was like a super soldier or something.
And every time Kate Beckinsale steps on screen in the movie, she literally poses. It's like, how many times yes. are you going to pose in every scene? It's like, we know you look fucking hot. You don't have to pose every time. That's yeah. one of those remakes that just was like, why? You know
what I always had this thought about this movie that the same guy that's the bad guy in RoboCop.
Yeah.
I always thought that he lied about Hauser really wanting to betray the mutants and that he was just going to get his old self back. I thought that was a lie. Yeah. I thought maybe he like brainwashed him and then got him to say that. But whenever he's bitching out Michael Ironside's character for trying to kill him, you know, Michael Ironside's like, he popped his cap too early. You know, what were we supposed to do? He's like, it was all going according to plan. He's like, it was? And he's like, you do what I tell you. And so that let me know, like paying attention to that little dialogue there, let me know that that was true, that,
yeah.
You know, Hauser really, you know, was bad, but Quaid was not.
Right.
And so, you know, you had a real, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing going on here. Mm-hmm. Hauser was a dick.
it was a good little plot twist towards the end there if you've never seen it before. I think for the most part, rewatching this week, I think Total Recall holds up pretty well. It definitely has a kind of old school sci-fi feel to it, but it's also, you know, it's probably out of the Paul Verhoeven science fiction films that he's done. It's violent, but it's also probably the least violent. You know, it's less violent than RoboCop or Starship Troopers. You know, it's got the scene where the arms get ripped off and a couple of scenes, but it's not quite as violent as some of his other films. Paul Verhoeven is no stranger to making kind of schlock, almost B sci-fi movies, you know, but yet they're also considered classics like RoboCop and Total Recall and Starship Troopers. It's a little bit fierce after this one. You know, of course he made Showgirls, which has also become a camp classic now, you know, but I always thought Verhoeven was a pretty good director that I always felt could have done a masterpiece sci-fi film if he had ever put his mind to it, you know. But I don't know. Nowadays, I'm not sure what he's doing. You know, I'm sure he's still making movies.
Me and Long were talking about the, you know, how they look whenever they go into the Martian atmosphere, and they're just like, and they're like bulging out and stuff. And I was like, man, I wonder who the makeup effects and the, you know. I wonder what crew did that. And it was the same crew from The Thing, same crew from House, if you've seen House.
Right.
And I was like, man, I was like, I can see that. I can see the resemblance between those films.
Yeah, they did. There's some good, very good makeup work in this movie. Creepy enough to be kind of gory and scary, but very well done too. You know, I just want to know how, like, when Mars is terraforming and their faces popping out and everything just automatically went right back into place. That was kind of weird. It's like, how come they
sucked right back in?
Right, like, how come they weren't scarred and became mutants after that? You know? It's just like their face, because...
That's true.
Because Arnold's the star of the movie, so his face had to go back to normal. Yeah.
That's right. Ever seen Last Action Hero, where he wipes the tar right off?
Yes, you made us watch that.
It's like the hero always... Don't knock on Last Action Hero.
I saw it once years ago, and I was never going to watch it again. Then you made me watch it again. I'm never going to forgive you.
Twice was enough for me. Sorry, Matt.
Yep.
Thanks for the free copy. I have a new cup holder. No, I'm joking.
Total Recall is all good. I don't mind watching this one. It's a good movie. Last
Action. Yeah. American. As far as Arnold movies, yeah, it's in the top five Arnold movies for sure.
Oh, for sure. That's a good
film. We talked about top fives, and I was like, you know, I was like, I wonder if we objectively based it off of how much money his movies made. If we made a top five off of that, I looked at everything. What do you think the top five is? I won't do this for everyone, so that, you know, that don't drag it off. But what do you think is top five? Yeah,
money wise,
like headlined. Yeah, money wise.
I mean, the easy guess would be Terminator 2 is number one, but I bet it's not, just because I have a feeling.
Terminator 2 is number one.
That's his number one box office.
Number one box office.
True Lies is probably up there.
True Lies is 3.
So what, Total Recall is a 2?
Predator.
Total Recall is 4. So what's Predator is not in there.
Oh, it's not in the top 5.
No. Terminator number 2 is Terminator 3.
Yeah, I can see that.
And number 5 is Eraser.
Oh, really?
That surprised me. Eraser beat out Batman and Robin, which was 6.
You have exact numbers?
So Batman, so if we go by numbers, it's how much it grossed. So worldwide gross for Terminator 2 is 519 million. Uh-huh. T3 is 433 million. Uh-huh. True Lies was 378 million. Uh-huh. Recall was 261 million. That's worldwide gross. Eraser was 242, so that was very close. Eraser was very close to Total Recall. Batman and Robin, 238, very close. Twins, 216. We start to get lower. End of Days was actually number 8. Mm-hmm. Kindergarten Cop was 201 million at number 9. And number 10, Last Action Hero, 173.3 million. I didn't go farther than but
Last Action Hero had the misfortune of going up against Jurassic Park during that summer.
But but 173 million. I bet a lot of that was overseas, cuz he was always huge overseas in the 90s.
Yeah.
I bet, I know domestically that movie didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, 80, almost 90 million of that was overseas.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
what was the budget of Last Action Hero?
I know it was big. I'd have to look that up, but it was a big budget. And then it just kept getting more and more expensive, because they're like, Arnold, you know, you're the designer of this film. So the budget kept going up and up.
Well, Total Recall was a $60 million film for 1990, which was a lot of money for 1990. $60 million.
Yeah.
That's a high budget for a sci-fi film in 1990. So, and like I said, it had a lot of makeup effects, a lot of matte paintings, a lot of model work. So it shows on screen that they spent that $60 million. So how do you guys rank?
Yeah.
How do you guys rank Total Recall?
It's in my probably number 4.
Well, like your letter rating.
I'll give it a B plus, A minus.
Yeah. I'm right there. I was gonna say B plus, A minus. I don't think it's an AA plus, but it's definitely a B plus, A minus kind of film. It has
original movie, you know. Yeah. So that's why I give it high marks. And it's so creative and entertaining. Yeah. So
I enjoy it, but I don't know if
super violent.
I enjoy it, but I don't know if I can go higher than a B plus. I don't think it's quite good enough to put it in the A categories, considering some of the films we've covered on the show. So I give it a solid B plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's fair.
Pretty fair. But Total Recall, good 1990 action film. If you've never seen it, check it out. Not streaming anywhere right now. It does show up on Netflix now and then. I guess right now it's just not on Netflix, so I had to find other ways to watch it.
It might be streaming on Prime Video. Well, I don't know if I saw the free over it.
I looked.
It was once. Yeah.
It shows up on Prime and Netflix pretty often. It's a lot of those, most 80s and 90s movies now always show up on Prime or Netflix, but then they'll disappear for like a month or two, then they'll come back. It just has to do with contracts and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But, all right. Well, y'all want to do let's do some news before the weekly top five? Let's do some news.
Yeah.
So Ian Holm passed away today. He was 88 years old. Of course, modern generations are probably going to remember him as Bilbo Baggins for Lord of the Rings. I always remember him as Ash from Alien. You know,
yep.
And so he is now one with the heavens, and good actor though. And but it's nice though that he will be remembered by the new generations because Lord of the Rings. So that's good.
And for me, I first noticed Ian Holm in that Bruce Willis movie. What was it? And the futuristic movie. God, I can't remember.
Fifth Element.
Yeah, thank you. Fifth Element. I noticed him in Fifth Element. He was very good in that role. So.
Yeah, Fifth Element's a good
movie. That's right.
That Fifth Element's a really good movie, actually. Yeah, we'll have to do that on the show one day. We got a teaser trailer for the Snyder Cut Justice League. It's only about 30 seconds. It shows us a little brief glimpse of Darkseid and Wonder Woman checking out. Looks like a hieroglyphic or something. And we're going to apparently get a full trailer on August 22nd at DC's digital con they're doing under the dome or something. So I'm shocked. I'm actually shocked we're getting a footage or that trailer that soon. But then again, I guess a lot of this movie is done. It's just starting to recutting it and doing some new special effects and stuff. So did you guys watch that little teaser?
I didn't see it.
I even shared it on the Rebel Radio Podcast Facebook group.
I just tuned it out.
The teaser for what?
The Snyder Cut. He released like a 30-second clip.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. It's pretty cool. Yeah. You see Wonder Woman investigating some ancient temple paintings.
Yeah.
And then some dude's talking to her in the background. Mm-hmm. And then you see like a glimpse of a Darkseid.
Yeah.
You know? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be really cool. You know, I'm pumped for that. Next, Jason Reitman. We don't even have Ghostbusters Afterlife yet. It was supposed to be out right now, but of course COVID has pushed everything back. And he's talking up, he's already working on a sequel. He's already writing a script before the first one comes out. They say don't count your eggs before they hatch, but I guess they have faith in Ghostbusters Afterlife that they're going to be able to make more of them. So we'll see. I guess the movie's coming out March 4th of next year now. Assuming everything's back to where we want it to be. But I know, I know long you had your reservations on this. I was still kind of looking forward to seeing it, you know, and I still want to see it. But
yeah,
hopefully it's good enough and makes enough money they can get a sequel. Because there's a lot of Ghostbusters fans out there that want more Ghostbusters movies.
And I've reconciled with the Ghostbusters 2016. And I watched the extended cut of the 2016. It's actually a better movie than the theater version. And it's the way the movie is filmed, it's definitely not directed towards the old fans. It's definitely more directed towards younger fans, younger audiences. Right. And from what I've seen, I think the kids really love the 2016 movie.
I feel like Wyatt, my 5-year-old likes it. And I watch it, I'm just like, this isn't really good, but he likes it.
Yeah. Shoot.
Yeah.
Who knows? Waverly might like it as soon as she knows what's going on, with female Ghostbusters.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, Ghostbusters are a great property. So, you know, I think it's kind of fun that we're
getting, it is.
It's kind of fun we're getting another movie. And,
yeah.
And hopefully some more, you know, maybe another anime.
Too bad Sony doesn't know what it's doing.
I knew Long would not make it through a Ghostbusters conversation without charging after Sony. I knew it.
Yeah. Can't do trailers correct either.
Well,
freaking Sony.
COVID-19 has claimed another victim. A Star Wars Celebration has been officially canceled this year and pushed back till 2022.
What?
Yeah.
They couldn't just push it 1 year. Well, they can't do it in 2.
I think, though, there's probably going to be a new movie in 2022. So they figured, let's just push it back a couple years and we can promote the new film and, you know, go from there.
That's because they don't have anything right now. That's why.
So, it is what it is, you know. But with that news also came some good Star Wars news, along with all the PlayStation 5 announcements last week. We got our first look at the new Star Wars game called Squadrons. This shit looks badass. I want it. as much as Spider-Man Miles Morales looks cool, I want a PlayStation 5 just to fucking play this, you know?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things I did when I was a Star Wars Galaxy player was to, the flight simulator on that game was one of my favorite parts of the game. So to me, Squadrons looks badass to be able to jump in an X-Wing or a TIE Fighter and blow shit up.
Yeah. I hope you could play the Millennium Falcon in it.
Right.
So, and yeah, from what I've seen, it's team based. They have dogfight mode, and then they have fleet action mode where it's 5 versus 5, and they have to kill each other's capital ships and kill each other in dogfights, and it's multi stage battle mode.
Yeah.
And then you can customize your pilot. You can customize the look of your pilot, and you can also customize the look of your ship. So, yeah, looks pretty cool. And they had cameos of Hera in it from Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
And they actually showed the character from a really good novel, Rey Sloane.
Oh, okay.
It's from the book Falling Stars. From the recent novel, and yeah, she's in that too. So
yeah, it looked like for the trailer too. Rose's sister Paige, who dies at the beginning of Last Jedi, it looked like maybe that was her in the trailer too. So, I'm excited for it. You know, I mean, I say that and I only have a PS5.
Yeah,
but you know, hopefully, you know, by the time it comes out, I might not buy one right when it comes out, but you know, by the time it comes out in November. Income tax season will just be right around the corner, and if I wait till February to get it, then I'll get it, you know? So, but I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's all the news I got this week. Kind of a slower news week, you know, as news has been the last couple weeks with things going on in the country. Other things have taken precedence.
Well, you guys... Hollywood news. Yeah, you guys know about, you know, the whole Me Too movement that happened a couple years ago? Right. Well... Right now, there's a similar movement happening in the world of professional wrestling, where a bunch of women a bunch of female wrestlers are actually speaking out against the male wrestlers in the UK wrestling scene, and some wrestlers over here. So it's called the Speak Up movement, and it's like, yeah, you're seeing all these screen catcher DMs from these wrestlers. Some of them are like between a minor and a wrestler, you know? And yeah, it's, they're having a Me Too movement, you know, in the wrestling world right now. It just started like yesterday. So yeah, it's a lot of things to chew through, but you know, I haven't watched wrestling in a while because I just like, I don't have enough money for a service, you know, for the WWE network and all that. But yeah, as far as news is concerned, there's also what else is going on. You mentioned the Ghostbusters thing. I know there's something else that we didn't touch up upon. I think something else was let me do a quick check real quick.
You know, I'm pretty perfect most of the time, but I might have missed something. Yeah. But
yeah.
I didn't miss midget fucking hookers.
Yeah, of course. Was it this week that Warner Brothers announced pushing back Godzilla another year? They pushed Wonder Woman to August. No, not August.
Yeah,
but
we talked
November
about, last week. We talked about the movies.
Was it last week?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got it all then.
Yeah, you're slacking long. No, I'm just kidding. But it's all right. We'll forgive you, man. You missed a couple weeks.
Oh, they might do a sequel to Attack the Block.
Attack the Block. I saw that. They're throwing ideas around, and yeah. And then I still need to watch the first one. I've had it sitting on my DVR forever, and I just haven't watched it. They've got that. And then, you know, Walter Hill apparently has a treatment for Alien 5, which tells me, You know, Ridley Scott had to deal with 20th Century Fox that, you know, no one else would make any more Alien movies unless he was involved. And, of course, he wanted to make a sequel to Covenant. But this kind of tells me that Disney doesn't really care what Ridley Scott says. They're going to do what they want if they gave Walter Hill permission to make a script. But Sigourney Weaver has pretty much said that she's done. Once the Neil Blomkamp Alien sequel fell apart, that was it for her. So I don't think she's going to say yes to do it. So it's wishful thinking. It's wishful thinking that he's making this script. But I don't think it's going to happen. You know, I'd be all for it if it did happen because I like that franchise enough to see more Alien movies. But I just have a feeling that she's
wait a minute. But I thought that Walter Hill script treatment was what Neil Blomkamp was working on.
I think this is a whole new treatment from what I understand. This is what I was reading. Like he did a whole other one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. You know, I think Ripley or a new character would be fine. Yeah. You know. So.
Yeah. We'll see. But I guess from what I've heard is the script is so centered around Ripley that, you know, I'm sure Disney will figure something out. We'll have some sort of Alien movie on screen again one day, you know, even if it is new characters. So it's big of a franchise. Just let it disappear.
There are talks that Disney's interested in doing the Alita sequel.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good. I really enjoy it.
That's good.
I enjoyed Alita. I'd like to see another one. Figure out a way to do it.
It's a very good movie.
All right. Well, let's get into the weekly top five. A new segment we started a few weeks ago. We used to do top 10 lists a lot on the show. We wanted to bring that back in some form. So we have a weekly top five now where we just pick kind of random topics. Sometimes they're related to that week's movie and sometimes they're not, like today. So with The Last of Us 2 coming out this week being a big video game release, I had the idea of doing a top five video games that we have actually completed, not just your favorite video games that you played, but you've actually had to finish the game. So did you guys have time to make a list?
Yes.
Okay. Kind of.
So go ahead, Matt. What's your start at your number five game that you completed?
KOTOR. I did not complete it on a system. I completed it on PC, but since it was technically on Xbox,
well, I never said it had to be a
360.
Then, video game.
Oh, okay, but KOTOR was my number five. It was just really fun, learning, all these different powers that were released, and you know, Darth Revan and that story, and being
great
able
twist,
to choose.
Huh?
Yeah,
great,
yeah.
Very good twist in that game.
Very good twist, and I bought KOTOR 2 the following year, and beat that one too. But I have KOTOR 1 on there because I don't think anything beats Darth Revan and Darth Malak and Bastila and that whole story. And I hope, man, it would be really cool if they at least made like a Netflix series on KOTOR or something. To get that story made because it's such a good story. I think you could really have success with that. But yeah, that's my number five.
My number five would be Legend of Zelda.
Nice.
Yeah.
NES?
Yeah. More Twilight Princess.
Oh, know. Twilight Princess.
Yeah. Or Breath of the Wild, actually. Breath of the Wild's a really great Zelda game. It's like one of the few games where you can actually feel like you're escaping into a new world whenever you turn on the Switch, and I highly recommend it. I know Mark had the Switch at one point, you know, in this household. Did you ever play Breath of the Wild
action? I saw it in action. It was really, really pretty looking game, that's for sure.
Yeah. Do we have to do it? Yeah, well, that's my number five. Go ahead, Mark.
My number five is a similar to you, a game that put me into that world. That's Red Dead Redemption, the first one. And that you felt like you were a cowboy and playing in a Western movie, playing that game. And a very satisfying ending to the game that left you, complete the way they finished that game. The first Red Dead, I still haven't finished part two yet. Of course, this isn't spoiler alert by now. Most people know that Red Dead Redemption 2 is actually a prequel to Red Dead Redemption 1. So there are different games in a lot of ways, but Red Dead Redemption, man, that's such a great game. Matt? number four.
What's your number four, Matt?
Number four for me is Diablo, the first Diablo.
Oh, that's a miserable universe to be.
Yeah. Blizzard.
It has a story mode, though?
Yeah.
I thought Diablo was like a role-playing thing.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, I didn't know it had a story mode.
You can play online, but the first one was story mode, and it's the town of Tristram. You have demons coming out of hell, and you've got to fight your way down into hell, defeat Diablo, and trap him in a soul stone. And then you have to put that soul stone in your body so that you can carry him, kind of like Raven carries Trigon. And in number two, you've become so weak from carrying him that you unleash him onto the world in number two. But I put the number one because, man, me and my cousin stayed up for 2 days straight. Well, not lie. We ate, we drank soda and tea and CC's, and we ate CC's pizza. We had it ordered and we played it for 48 hours all the way through and beat it. And it was awesome. I was the rogue and he was the warrior back when you only had like three spell class or three warrior classes or fighter classes. But yeah, and it evolved into something great. I beat Diablo 3 recently, about a month ago. And, can't wait for Diablo 4. That's going to be really good.
Yeah. Number four for me is God of War. I don't know if it should be in the recent one or in the ancient Greece one. I don't know. It's a power trip. If I'm ever in the mood to be in the power trip, then the original God of War trilogy. But if I'm, I guess, want to be living in the Norse mythology world, then God of War.
God of PS4. War.
Yeah.
And number four, I have the. Yep.
That's my number.
Going four. Back to a PlayStation 1, man, the original Metal Gear Solid. It was so hard, but so awesome and so.
That was hard.
Satisfying when I finally finished.
Satisfying.
It. You know, it was like, because, like, I think the first Metal Gear Solid is the first game. Like, back of the old Nintendo, like, if you beat a game, you're like, oh, that's cool. But Metal Gear Solid might be the first game that made me, like, I felt accomplished when I beat it. I was like, wow, that was really hard, but I beat it. That's such a great game. Matt, number three, man.
Yeah, number three for me is Zelda Ocarina of Time.
No one beats that game. N64. No one has ever beat that game. You're lying.
I have beaten that game. Lie. Nope, I beat it. I beat Ganondorf. I'm not lying. I had to, and I remember going to the store and having my mom buy me the game guide. You know, you had to buy the game guide that was, you know, that thing.
The game went on forever and no one could ever fucking beat it. Remember, that used to be kind of a joke back in the day.
Yeah. It really did. You have to beat Ganondorf like three or four times.
Yeah.
And that's not including the different sage temples you have to go to. That's just, you know, at the end. But it was fun. And I remember beating it a couple times and that just having fun playing it. And so that's my number three.
Mom, wake up.
Sorry. Number three for me is the Mario games. This seems like a weird, whimsical place to be. But particularly Super Mario Brothers 3, you know, it had so many defined worlds to explore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And different power suits to wear, you know.
The frog suit and the
frog suit, raccoon. The raccoon suit.
Yeah.
The statue suit, all that. The sex toy suit. No, I'm joking. That's my number three.
My number three is going to be one that might seem kind of out of left field, but I think this was an underrated, really good game on the Xbox 360, and it was an original James Bond story they did called Bloodstone, and the game is great, man. It's like it may not be perfect, but the story was so good. I always wanted to make a James Bond story, a movie based on that game. It had a twist. It was satisfying. I can't remember if that, Daniel Craig, I think, might have done some voice work for it, if I remember right. I have to go back and look at my box. But I remember playing that. It was just a gem of the rough that I think I picked up at GameStop for like $6 and played on my Xbox 360. And I'm like, why did this game not get more recognition? I really, really enjoyed playing it. And I remember beating it and thinking, man, that was a good game.
Number two.
Yeah. Number two for me is Resident Evil 2 on PS2. That game scared the shit out of me, and I still have anxiety playing Resident Evil games. They still scare me, even though they were like, they look like friggin' Minecraft characters, back then.
Speaking of anxiety, have any of y'all played Alien Isolation?
No.
Turn up the brightness on it because I was getting too much anxiety playing it. It's scary as fuck. But anyway, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how Resident Evil games are. I mean, if you've ever played a Resident Evil game, Resident Evil maybe not so much, but Resident Evil 2, man, they do such a good job of keeping you on edge.
Well, yeah.
Good story too, the William Birkin story. The
first Resident Evil was more
The T-Virus, the G-Virus.
Yeah. The first Resident Evil is more jump scares, yeah. Then the second one's more suspense.
Yeah. And the Tyrant, and then you've got two different storylines. You can play as Claire or Leon Kennedy, who was, they tried to model him after Leo DiCaprio, but, you can hardly tell. This new one, he kind of looks a little bit more like Leo DiCaprio in the remake, but just a great story. Rookie cop, first day on the job, zombie apocalypse.
Of course.
Yep.
Long.
Now, these are worlds that we want to be in, right?
Well, just games you've completed.
That's what your text said. Oh, just games we completed. Games you completed.
Yeah.
Oh, because the way the text message comes off, I thought, like, games you have to beat, but you want to be in that world or something like that.
That would be
like
a whole other top five.
Oh. Right. I know I beat the main storyline of Persona 5. Man, that game, I clocked in 100 hours on that game. Yeah, but the story is so good, I didn't know what was going on most of the story, but it like the last quarter of it tied everything together in a beautiful bow. It's a great Japanese RPG. Mm-hmm. So much style and presentation in it, and fun battle system. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
So that's my number two.
At number two, I'm going back to the Metal Gear series, Metal Gear Solid 2. On the PlayStation 2. Another game that was very challenging.
Oh, really?
Very challenging, crazy stuff where you had to switch controllers out. I don't know if you remember that. And the control and finally got the end to beat it. And just another great game, man. Those first two games of that Metal Gear series were just so well done. And the newer ones are pretty good.
Was that the one where you had to fight the ninja?
Yeah, I think you do fight ninja in that one. Yeah. It's been a while since I played it.
Yeah.
But Metal Gear Solid 2, man, I like that. That was
number one, yeah.
Number one, Matt.
Number one, I guess this is my out of left field, but maybe not. May not get too, you may understand this one, but for me, it was really, really hard for me to beat this game on NES, as a lot of NES games are, and that's Gunsmoke on NES. I always died at the ninja level. I still, most of the time, die in the ninja level. But I have made it to the fifth level and beat the boss once. And it took forever. I still can't reproduce that victory. But that's probably my number one game. Just because it's so simple. But it's fun. You're a cowboy.
I remember it.
And yeah. Do you remember Gunsmoke Long?
Barely.
Barely? I still own it. Yeah. I have it. Yeah, so I played it the other day. And I got beat in the Indian level, so the third level. There's five, and I probably will never get back there again. But that's my number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my number one is the Mass Effect trilogy.
Nice.
That I've replayed each installment multiple times just to see what kind of ending I could get and all the different story choices that could be made, and how the consequences feed off of each other, and creating your own character and that being carried over from game one to game three. And there's not a video game since then that has matched that, that kind of continuity. Mm-hmm. And the science fiction setting was epic. The battle system kept improving on itself each installment, and Mass Effect trilogy is definitely my number one video game.
Yeah. For me, my number one is the game that I started playing the sequel to today, and that's The Last of Us Part One. Still one of the greatest games I've ever played. Great story. Really good combat, the way the game's played. Seamless. I think The Last of Us is the first game where I really noticed how the world is seamless together with the cinema scenes of the game and the action of the game. Naughty Dog is an amazing studio. That's you know, what's funny is they almost went bankrupt at one point, you know, a few years back, and then they released Uncharted 2 and they released The Last of Us and started making some money, and now they're one of the top game studios out there, considering they almost went under. And of course, the sequel came out today, which is so far amazing. So. I highly recommend The Last of Us Part One if you've never played it before. Looking at you, Long.
You think you'll beat the game by next week?
Probably not. It takes me a while to play games because, you know, I mean, today I set aside to make sure I came home and had some hours to play it. But, you know, I should have some time this week and I ain't got much going. So we'll see. You never know. I am playing. I didn't play it on super. It has like four modes on it. It had ultra light, light, moderate, which is like normal. They're hard and very hard. I played it on the light. So not super easy, but not medium either. Because, you know, man, I don't want the game to be so fucking hard that you get frustrated and can't enjoy it, you know. So I just want to play it and enjoy the storyline, you know. So, I mean, some people say, oh, that's cheating if you don't play it on normal or hard. Fuck that shit. I don't care. As long as I enjoy the game, you know. So.
But, that's true.
But, yeah. So that's all that matters. So, but, yeah. Good top five, guys. You guys did well. Considering I told you at the last minute. But
yeah.
And Al.
No, that may have been the most solid list I ever gave you.
Yeah. Well, for next week's episode, what do we decide on? I guess we're going to do your movie you kind of want to do, Matt. It's not streaming anywhere, but if you have Stars, it is streaming on Stars. Stars' app right now. And that is, we're going to go back and talk one of the most expensive movies ever made at the time. And it, did not do well at the box office, but you know, I kind of like this movie. I haven't watched it in a while, so we'll see how it holds up. And that is Waterworld from Kevin Costner.
The future. The polar ice caps have melted, and the Earth lies beneath a watery grave. Those who survived have adapted to a new world.
What did you see out there in your 15 lunars?
Such as?
An end? An end to all this water?
You're asking the wrong person.
Pure dirt.
So what's it worth? We trading or not?
And the human dream is the search for a mythical place called dry land.
It doesn't exist!
How can you be sure?
Because I sailed farther than most have dreamed. I've never seen it.
This place, this whole way of living, it's ending.
Straight line leading directly. Directly to dry land?
Dry land is not just our destination, but it is our destiny!
Universal Pictures presents a world unlike any you have ever seen. Kevin Costner, Dennis Hopper, Gene Triplehorn. Waterworld.
I wish we could find the director's cut, because if you've ever seen a director's cut, it's so much better. But the thing is impossible to find. It's on a really expensive Blu-ray release. I don't even think it's available digitally anywhere. So we'll just watch the regular theatrical.
Yeah.
Because it is one of those movies where the director's cut is a little better, because it helps fix a few of the problems of the film. But it'll still be a fun watch. You know, Dennis Hopper, he's always a good as a bad guy. And, you know, Kevin Costner, I mean, I've always liked Kevin Costner. I don't know. Kevin Costner, I guess, feels kind of like that guy who lives next door. You might have a beer with, or he might come over and fix your car, you know? So I think that's why Kevin.
Yeah. Come over to fix your car.
Yeah, he kind of he feels like that type. So, you know. So we'll do Waterworld next week's show. And at least it won't have, it might have his weird web feet, but it won't have midget hookers. So, you know.
Our loss.
You know, can't win them all. But that's all we got this week, then, I think. As always, thank everybody out there for listening. As we're trekking past episode 200 and onward now, go to the rubberradiopodcast.com, join our Patreon for just $2 a month. You get exclusive episodes and check out our social media. And again, just thanks as always for listening. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long.
And again, thanks as always for listening. Apologize for my voice keeps fucking up tonight, but it is what it is. And until next time, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.
Do it.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.